God does not call you to a mission that you yourself can accomplish in your own strength. If He calls you to a mission that somehow you can accomplish in your own strength, what's the need for Him? He's always going to call you to something that's bigger than you.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hi, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. What a joy it is to have you listening today, and as always, our fervent prayer is that God is going to speak to your heart in a powerful way. We're super excited about this program because we believe He's going to do just that. So let's dig into God's Word together right now. Open your scripture to Luke chapter 1, looking at verses 26 through 38 as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Obedience at All Costs.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to You, my Lord, my Rock, and my Redeemer. So, Father, to You be the praise, to You be the glory. And we pray this in the name that's above every name, that on that day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name and His name only. And all God's people shouted, amen, amen. Take your Bible. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 1, this morning. This is not a misprint. I know we read this for our scripture reading earlier. And typically we read this text around the Christmas season when we're celebrating our Lord's birth. But I believe there's too many great truths in this particular word to regulate it just to the Christmas season. You know, we love our mothers, we honor our mothers, and yet the reality is this, and I want to make sure we're clear on this, that I know in a group this size that there's most likely some people that did not have a good experience with their mother. I want to be really sensitive to that because we got to understand this, that you got to understand that regardless of whether your circumstances with your mother are good or not, the reality is this, the grace and the mercy of the blood of Jesus Christ can bring you back into right fellowship with your mother. And so here in this word this morning, I want us to read together. I'll read it out loud. You follow along. I'm going to read the scripture in context that was already read. We're going to focus on just a few key truths. And I pray that we will leave here today. I pray that we'll leave here today on mission for God's mission. Don't you want to be on mission for God's mission? And let me ask this question. Do you know what your mission is in life so that you can therefore be on the mission God has given you, which will sync up with His mission for His glory and His praise? And most people that I talk to don't have any clue what their purpose is in life. I exist should be your mission statement. I exist, and then you fill it in. I exist. My personal mission statement is this. I exist for the glory of God and to make passionate disciples of Jesus Christ. That's my personal mission statement. That's why God created me. That's how He wired me. That I would be a person that goes out passionately with great zeal to win the lost at any cost. Every one of you has a mission for God's mission, whether you realize it or not. This morning, we're going to learn about a mother in Scripture who had an incredible mission that God selected. He chose this young peasant girl to be the mother as the Holy Spirit came upon her to be the mother, the earthly mother, of none other than Jesus the Christ. Now you talk about a mission, but don't miss this. Just because your mission doesn't appear to be as glamorous as someone else's mission, it does not negate nor minimize how great the calling of the mission on your life is. Because here's the deal, there's no small mission in God's economy. And so I want us to listen to this word together as we read it. I pray that it will just change and grip our hearts like never before. Here it is, Luke chapter 1, starting here in verse 26. God's word. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed. Let me just pause there for a minute. Look up here. Give me your eyes. This is mission critical in God's word. That she was a virgin. There was not any physical consummation of this betrothal. Now, betrothal, what does that mean? Well, it meant they were engaged. There was a period of time there where they're engaged in the Jewish custom. It literally was very binding. And if you look at the other gospels, you notice that Joseph, when he found out, and by the way, can you imagine being Joseph? And he gets this news. Hey, by the way, Joseph, how was your day at work? My day was good. How was yours, Mary? Oh, mine was fantastic. A guy named Gabriel came to me, and he said, I'm going to be the mother of the Christ child. Oh, okay. Can you imagine his response? Scripture says that he wanted to put her away secretly. But Joseph was faithful in his mission as well, wasn't he? See, when you understand what God has on your life, you therefore will be able to go do what God wants to do with your life. You will never be able to go do what God's called you to do unless you understand what He has on you and, more importantly, who He has in you. And so Mary, understand this, is a virgin. She's betrothed. In an engagement period. The text goes on and says this. To a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Very key. The lineage of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now let me pause there for a moment here and just make a disclaimer, okay? There is nowhere in Scripture, listen closely, there is nowhere in Scripture where we're commanded to worship Mary. Make sure we're on the same plane here. Do we honor Mary? Sure. We honor a lot of mothers. But we're nowhere in Scripture commanded to worship Mary. Don't miss that. That's man imposing his idea on God's word. And anytime we impose man's idea on God's word, we now, in our own mind, are now diluting truth, aren't we? Because here's the deal. You can't dilute God's truth. God's truth is God's truth. I can take God's truth and I can go, hey, I'm going to add this idea and that idea and go here and go there. And I'm over in my corner in my own delusion, but I have not in any way, shape, or form damaged the truth of God's word. Because God's word is holy. Okay, so are we tracking so far? All right, here we go. 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled. I mean, we can understand that, amen? At his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. It's a great thing. By the way, God chose her, didn't he? I mean, she didn't wake up one morning and go, hey, I'm going to be the mother of the Christ child, and the Holy Spirit's going to come on me. God selected, he chose her for this mission, for this assignment. And behold, 31, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Referring there to that lineage again, the messianic lineage of David. 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And all God's people shouted. I mean, that was the shouting time, wasn't it? Did you catch that? I don't care what's going on today. I don't care what we go home and read in the newspaper, the greatest travesty, the greatest calamity. You know, again, who's going to be in the White House? What is ISIS doing? Here's the deal. My God is sovereign. My God is great. Therefore, because he's sovereign and because he's great, and we look in his word, that's truth. It says here that of Christ's kingdom, there will be no ends. This is great news. I don't know what you're looking for today, but man, that's great news. Man, you may have had a bad week. Maybe this morning you had a bad morning. Man, Sunday mornings are tough, aren't they? Man, you're trying to get the kids and yourself and the wife going to church. I mean, you know, you get to church or you pull in the parking lot. You've been arguing the whole way to church. Come on now, you know I'm going, don't you? You're arguing the whole way to church, and man, that door opens. It's like, oh, praise Jesus. Life's really hard. It's full of one disappointment after another. But here's the great news. When you are under the blood of the one, there is no other, by the way, and his name is Jesus. When you're under his blood, his righteousness, that atoning sacrifice that we talked about last week, here's the great news. His kingdom will never come to an end. And when you partake in his kingdom as his child, you yourself will never come to an end because you'll always be in his presence. You go, well, what's so important about that? You know, my car won't start. Well, here's the good news. Whether your car starts or not is not the issue. The issue is, where will you spend eternity? So important that we understand this. Because as humans, and I'm guilty of this, we'll allow the smallest thing in our lives to ruin our week. When we should be focusing on the greatest thing in our lives. And his name is Jesus. See, there will be no end. All right, so here we go. This is what we're going to camp out on this morning, 34 and following. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Verse 36. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." 37, key verse. "For with God, Nothing will be impossible." And then lastly, 38. Then Mary said, I love this, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your words." And the angel departed from her. You got to understand this when you study the Jewish customs of the day. We don't have definitive proof or answers on this, but we can derive from some research that Mary most likely was probably somewhere in the 15 to 16 year old range. Many times in Jewish customs, believe it or not, there could be that betrothal as young as 12. You got to put yourself in her shoes. You got to slide over to her side of the desk. That here she is, and she's doing her thing this day, and here comes Gabriel on the scene. And Gabriel says, "Here is your mission." Note this. God does not call you to a mission that you yourself can accomplish in your own strength. If he calls you to a mission that somehow you can accomplish in your own strength, what's the need for him? He's always going to call you to something that's bigger than you. He's going to call you to something that's going to require a faith. A faith that says, God, if you're not in this, if you don't show up and provide, if you don't show up and lead, if you don't show up and give discernment and direction in this, this is just simply not going to happen. I mean, think through this. Young peasant girl, you're going to be the mother of the Christ child. You talk about a mission well beyond anything Mary could manufacture by herself. And that's the point exactly. He will always call us to a mission that's bigger than us. And therefore, when the faith is employed, that we can become a people that lives for God, that we can do it so daringly, that we can do it with zeal, that we can do it with faith, that we can get out of our box and also take God out of his box and say, okay, God, I believe you called me to go do this. I believe you want me to go live for your glory and your praise. I believe you called me to go spread the gospel. I believe you called me to go into this profession to be a missionary for you. Whatever that calling is, where he calls you, he leads you, and where he leads you, he feeds you. And I'll tell you this, where he guides, he provides. So Mary at first, though, what was her response, though, in 34? Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Of course, she's referring to their betrothed. But there's purity in the relationship. It hasn't been tainted. And so she's asking the logical question. How can this, from a physical standpoint, even be? How can this be, she's asking. I don't know about you, but we many times will see the limitations in our circumstances when we view our circumstances through our limited, finite mind. That's why you're taking notes this morning. Write this down. Here it is, key number one. You're going to need this week. Key number one. I will view God's instructions through his lens, not mine. Let me repeat that again as you're writing it down. I will view God's instructions through his lens, not mine. You just kind of picture it this way. You know, if you're a manager, if you're a coach, if you're a boss, when you're giving the instructions, you know what the instructions are. You know what needs to happen in the instructions. You know what's going to be needed as far as resources to carry out the instructions. Therefore, doesn't it make sense that when we are then employees, if we are someone who is under someone else in authority, that we should then look through not our own lens, but look through the one who is giving us the direction? See, so many times people get so messed up in life because they're viewing God's mission for their life through their own lens. And no wonder it's confusing. That's why you want to be in God's Word. See, God speaks through his Word. His Word is vibrant. His Word is holy. His Word will give you a word today for not only your today, but also for your tomorrow. And as you get in God's Word tells us that you will be like that tree that's planted, that is anchored, that is tethered, that the roots go deep, that you're by the river of living waters, and you shall not be moved. That you write God's word on the tablet of your heart. That you bind his wisdom around your neck. And therefore you will not be able then to be caught in the cords of sin. So there's a great parallel between the concept of hearing God and reading his word. God's word in our culture today, even in many American churches, has been regulated to the bookshelf. And no wonder they're floundering. No wonder they're dying by the droves. Man, it's high time we wake up. It's high time we get back to God's word. You don't need a bunch of jokes. You don't need a bunch of illustrations. You and I need God's words. But entertainment minus God's word will send you to a godless hell. See, that's why this is pivotal. People go, man, why are you so serious about God's word? You want to know why I'm so serious? Because God's word, even though I'm still a sinner and I'm still a work in progress, just ask my family, by the way. But even though I'm still a work in progress, I'm going to tell you this. You ready? God's word has and is changing me from the inside out. And here's the great news. I'm no different than you. The only thing right now that separates me and you is a few feet of distance. I'm no better than you are. I'm a sinner saved by grace at the foot of Jesus Christ. And it's the word of God. Listen, it's the word of God that I pray that this church, that these leadership men here, they will guard God's word tenaciously. That no matter what comes their way, they will not bend, buckle, or break because God's word will be hidden within their hearts. See, Mary is troubled, and understandably so. She's asking the question, how can this be? I made a note here from C.S. Lewis. Listen to what he said. We're not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful this best will turn out to be. I mean, kind of think through that for a minute. I think all of us would probably agree this morning, whether you're saved or not, that you'd probably agree to some level that there's a God and that, hey, this God is good. Now, if you're a believer, we know there's a God, amen? If you're a believer today, you know he's good regardless of your circumstances. But isn't that so true, what C.S. Lewis said? It's not so much that we're doubting, hey, is he going to, you know, do the best for us? Man, that's a good word by C.S. Lewis. What we're worried about, what we're scared about, is what his best will look like in our lives. It's so simple that in theory we go, okay, God, you know, you bought me with your precious blood of your son. I'm no longer my own. Here's my life. Let it be. Wait a minute, God. We're not going over there. Give me my life back. Now, I'll tell you what, when God goes, I want to send you to X, and you thought he was going to Y, man, those are fighting words to the flesh, aren't they? Aren't you glad, Mary, even though she was troubled and caught off guard, that those weren't fighting words? Those were words that were embraced and obeyed. See, the key through this, as you think through this thought, is the thought of how can it be? That this seems impossible, but how can it be? But we understand right there in God's word that it told us, as we read this earlier, that here in this text, it's showing us that with God, all things are possible. Please just understand this last thought in this first section. Wherever God is leading you today, now again, make sure he's the one that leading and not you. And that's a whole subject matter himself, isn't it? But when God is leading and we are following, no matter how difficult the circumstances and the horizon may seem of where he's leading, when you know he's leading, when you know he's guiding, here's the great news. All things are possible with God's. And therefore, we see a mother who asked a serious yet honest question. How can this be? This doesn't make any sense. But God doesn't always lead where it makes sense. God leads where he gets the most glory. The second part says this. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will," here it is, don't miss this, "overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Here it is, right here, the Holy Spirit's going to get involved. Yeah, how can this be? How can this be, Gabriel? I don't know a man. That's okay, Mary. That's okay. We got this figured out. God's pretty smart. He's got this figured out. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to indwell you. He's going to do this work. And not only is he going to do this work, but here's what's going to happen, Mary. We're going to prepare you. You are going to be overshadowed. Now, this is mission critical in the Christian life. When you look at that word there in that original language, it means this, that when there's an overshadowing, there's something else taking precedence. That literally a shadow is being cast so that whatever is being shadowed is completely enveloped. Now, are we getting a mental picture of what's going on here? Gabriel's on the scene. Gabriel announces this to Mary. Mary goes, "Hey, wait a minute, how can this be? This doesn't make any sense to my flesh." Gabriel's like, "Oh, don't worry about this. We already got this figured out. We got this so figured out, but here's what's going to happen. There's going to be some pain in this offering." See, when God leads you to the place he wants to lead you to, there's always some level of pain in that offering. You look through Scripture, we could start at Genesis and go to the book of Maps. And we can go all the way through. And we can see one example after another where God took a life, where God took an individual, and he overshadowed them. He enveloped them. He took control of. They were no longer their own. They actually insisted that they were no longer their own. And man, there was some difficulty and some pain in that offering. But with God, all things are possible.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.